Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Scientists unveil missing link in evolution. The missing link in evolution has been unveiled today. 47-million-year-old fossilized skeleton of a monkey. And we will talk about that today. What we had scheduled to discuss we'll put off, and that was a focus on the families. A public statement that they would agree with the New Hampshire governor that wants to authorize homosexual marriage as long as there's an exception for churches. That was another devastating position from Focus on the Family, and also equally tragic Focus on the Family's statement that they would not in any way oppose a homosexual nominated for life, of course, to the U.S. Supreme Court when they had been against homosexuals adopting kids and the homosexual agenda and homosexual marriage until last week. And how would a homosexual Supreme Court justice rule on all those and so many other issues of Christian morality? Of course, he would rule against the family, against children, against the Christian worldview. But Focus on the Family now says that that's not an issue to them if homosexuals nominated to the Supreme Court. So those are great tragic developments, but we'll put that off in the particulars of those tragic developments until perhaps tomorrow or later in the week. Right now, the headline atop a Drudge, Sky News, this has been a big breaking news story today. Scientists unveil missing link in evolution. So we're going to talk through this, and I'm going to give you about a dozen scientific observations that should be able to show you through common sense and your general science background that this claim is false, that they've unveiled a 47-million-year-old fossil. Since this monkey didn't live 47 million years ago, only thousands of years ago. But first, let's look at the story, and I'll try to report this as straight as possible. Scientists have unveiled a 47-million-year-old fossilized skeleton of a monkey hailed as the missing link in human evolution. Now, when the story came out, I did make a call to Dr. Walt Brown. He earned his mechanical engineering degree from MIT, taught for years the physical sciences at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, and he is simply the world's leading scientist, absolutely brilliant man. And he and I talked briefly about this article, and he said, as is his practice, as I knew, but his practice is that he withholds public comment until after he has read the technical papers behind the popular news reports. But Walt Brown and I had a tremendous talk. And by the way, I've been a Christian since 1973, and I've been reading creationist books and watching creation videos all that time. And I'd always been so unhappy with the creationist explanation for how the Grand Canyon was formed, because the creationists just did a lousy job. They couldn't explain it. They said, well, it had something to do with the global flood. Yeah, but there's only one Grand Canyon. Why aren't there Grand Canyons all over the world if it had to do with a global flood? And the atheists, the evolutionary geologists, they sure don't have a clue how the Grand Canyon was formed. The leading theories all contradict one another. Well, now Walt Brown, his latest edition, the eighth edition of In the Beginning, has a new chapter on the Grand Canyon, and it's online also, the whole chapter. And in fact, I Googled the word origin and the word Grand Canyon, 11 million pages. Walt Brown's chapter on the origin of the Grand Canyon, number 3. Number three out of 11 million. And this has only been out for less than a year on the internet and a few months in print. I mean, this is a startling, tremendous explanation of how the Grand Canyon and a dozen related features of the geology of that part of this country, America, southwestern U.S., how it was all formed. So Walt Brown and I had a brief talk about this small monkey and the claim that it is the missing link in evolution. So now let's continue with the article that broke the news from Sky News in Britain, Sky News, sky.com. And they write that the search for a direct connection between humans and the rest of the animal kingdom has taken 200 years, but it was presented to the world today at a special news conference in New York. So, first time in 200 years, we have the direct connection between humans and the rest of the animal kingdom. Now, I had thought we had that all along. I had thought you could go to the Denver Museum of Natural History and see the hominid fossils that connect apes to human beings. I thought we had that. In fact, I'm 50 years old. I was born on the 100th anniversary to the year of Darwin's book. When Darwin's Origin of the Species was published in 1859, I was born 100 years later, 1959. So that book has been out 150 years. And in the last 50 years, I don't remember too much about, you know, until I was about 7 or 8. But since then, I've been reading science books since then and fascinated with science. And every few years, every time they find some significant ape fossil, they say it's the missing link. Every time, finally they say the missing link. And every time they discover something new about the solar system, it's now we'll have some idea of how the solar system formed. Every time. I thought you guys knew that yesterday. And now, first time, just figured it out. So the discovery of the 95% complete lemur monkey. What's a lemur monkey? A lemur. That's one that climbs up in the trees mostly, right? Lemurs. They're on some island off the coast of Africa, I think. Lemurs. You see documentaries about lemurs. They're, you know, cute, cool little monkeys. The discovery of this lemur monkey dubbed Ida, they're calling the monkey Ida, is described by experts as the eighth wonder of the world. The eighth wonder of... Now, I thought Oprah's KFC coupon debacle was the eighth wonder of the world, but it turns out it's this monkey, this little monkey. They say its impact on the world of paleontology will be somewhat like... Wait, let me leave off from there for a moment and go to a few observations. You know, they say it's 47 million years old. Well, the things that they used to say took millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years, and now so many things like that, they say, well, you know what? We thought it took a long time. It happened quickly. Like, remember the Yellowstone petrified trees, the strata with the petrified trees up in Yellowstone in Wyoming? And they said the strata were successive forests that evolved and then were wiped out, and one or two trees remained, and they petrified, and then happened again and again and again, more than a dozen times on the same basic hillside. It's like, why would that happen right there? Why? And what they never told us, and we finally got this sign taken down, we meaning young earth creationists. And my wife Cheryl and I, we flew out to Hawaii and met with the park ranger of one of our national parks, and he agreed to help us, and he worked from the inside. Creationists worked from the outside, and they took down the sign because the sign was a lie. And the sign said these petrified trees grew here in successive forests over millions of years. Forest evolved, And for some reason, they started to die out, and a handful of trees from that forest would stay there and petrify, turn into rock. And then new layers were laid down, and then a new forest evolved, and then that was wiped out, and a few trees stayed. And it kept happening like that at the same, isn't that weird? The same place. And it turns out none of the petrified trees have root systems. All of those trees were broken off catastrophically, like in a volcanic eruption or a flood. They were broken off, transported by water, and then they sunk in their current location. They did not grow there in a dozen successive forests. So thanks to young earth creationists, not geologists who are atheists, not evolutionists who are perfectly happy with the sign as it was, because it said, just these trees proved millions of years right here in Yellowstone. It wasn't true. You know, also near Yellowstone, the Heart Mountain Detachment, a major mountain that broke into 1,000 pieces and they're spread over, you know, 100 square miles. And, of course, the geologists would think, well, that's got to happen over, you know, tens of thousands, slowly, an inch a year, whatever. Now, you could go to what? You go to National Geographic? Could you do a Nova, look at a Nova TV show? Wow. You see, it didn't take millions of years. They said it happened rapidly. Hundreds of years? No, they think it's quicker. A year? No, quicker. Months? No, quicker. Days? They said it might have happened as quickly as in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. The Heart Mountain Detachment, a mountain that's now in pieces all over the Northwest. And then we got the Scablands in the state of Washington. They used to say they formed over millions of years. Now there's a Nova TV show. So guess what? Happened in a flood rapidly. Carlsbad Cavern. You ever go there? We've taken our family, our kids, Cheryl and I. We go to all these places. Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico, not far from Area 51, you know. It's a National Park Service. They used to have a sign there that said this cave was formed over 260 million years it took, you know, because it has the stalactites and the stalagmites, and they grow so slowly. And then they changed it because of the criticism to 8 million years. And then they changed it to 2 million years. So we've gone from 260 million years to 2. And you know what the sign says now? We went to confirm with our own eyes. They took it down. Just like in Yellowstone. They took it down, and this is what it states in the official audio tour of National Park Service of Carlsbad Cavern. It says the rate of formation, right? They used to say it take millions of years. The rate of formation of these stalactites and stalagmites, the rate of formation depends on the amount of available water, period. Exactly. I mean, there are stalactites and stalagmites. How do you know the difference between the two? Which ones hold on tight to the ceiling and which ones sit on the ground? Stalactites and stalagmites. Well, stalagmites have a G. They sit on the ground. And stalactites, they hold on tight to the ceiling. It depends on how much water. They form rapidly in many places around the world. Human beings build a tunnel and you end up with stalactites and stalagmites, depending on the water flow and the mix of the minerals. You heard about the gold mines in Papua New Guinea, the gold mines there, which evolutionists assume took millions of years to form. Geologists now have evidence that they say they could have formed in thousands of years, or you know what? Wait a minute. Maybe far more quickly. In Idaho, have you heard of the Box Canyon? Box Canyon? Did it form slowly over millions of years? No, it turns out it was formed rapidly, and that's according to Science magazine. Soft tissue T-Rex, remember the T-Rex found by Montana State University? The paleontologist who they modeled the Jurassic Park movies after? Remember that? Jack Horner? We aired my conversations with Jack Horner. We offered him $25,000 to carbon 14 date the T-Rex. They found with soft tissue in a T-Rex, you can see the photos for yourself. Just go online. They're all over the internet by the evolutionary atheistic media. The soft tissue T-Rex and a thigh bone of a T-Rex. And you know, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Manganese nodules found in the ocean and in lakes, they say they form millimeters every million years, and they're millions of years old, until they found one around a beer can. And they said, well, something's with that. Got to figure that one out. Oh, yeah, and around World War II ships also. And it goes on. I've got so many examples like this. So don't be deceived when they tell you that it's 47 million years old. They say, this is back to Sky News, then we'll take a call, 1-800-8-NER, 1-800-836-9278. Sky News broke this story, unveiling the missing link today, 47 million years old. They say its impact on the world of paleontology will be, quote, somewhat like an asteroid falling down to Earth. Yeah, a big thud. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Let's go to Parker, Colorado. Laureen, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Bob, first I have two questions for you, but I wanted to let you know that I had got on the internet and it was all over the news, and I started praying right away for these people to be exposed, you know, for the science to be exposed to the world and show the world that, you know, it's a huge lie.
It's a huge lie. Human beings do not come from monkeys. We're not made of monkeys. We are made in God's image and likeness. It's okay for an animal to eat another animal. A fish can eat another fish. But a human being cannot just kill a four-year-old child because he doesn't feel like going to the grocery store and eat the child.
Right. Well, you know, God always seems to answer that prayer. And I want to thank you for getting on the line and doing this.
You're welcome, Lauren.
It's one of the answers to prayers. Two of my questions. Well, first question is, isn't there proof that if bones of something is not fossilized, that those bones would have disintegrated before faster than the fossilized ones?
Well, let's consider the soft tissue T-Rex, right?
Yeah.
Where they broke open the thigh bone of the T-Rex, not because they wanted to. The package was too heavy to lift out of the sandstone cliffs in Montana by helicopter, so they had to break it in two. That's the only reason they looked inside. They would have never looked inside. And they found pliable, soft tissue. They found blood vessels. They found hemoglobin. In fact, it's astounding what they're finding with protein molecules and intact bacteria, living bacteria, and DNA in fossils that are supposedly tens of millions of years old, hundreds of millions of years old. They're finding these things. So the question you're asking, biological molecules, right, like DNA, like proteins, like a single-cell bacteria, mm-hmm. A biological molecule is a sophisticated arrangement of matter, of atoms and atoms. And because of the second law of thermodynamics, things tend to break down. Things break down. So it has been believed since the advent of modern science that biological molecules could not remain intact, especially if they're not frozen. They couldn't remain intact for millions of years. They just couldn't. They would disintegrate and lose their structure. And now we are finding biological molecules, even ones that can still function, in fossils that are allegedly hundreds of millions of years old. So thank you for your insightful question.
Sure.
Irene, thank
and
you.
The second one that I wanted to ask you is, this carbon dating doesn't even go past a million years, does it?
Carbon dating theoretically goes about 50,000 years old, maybe a little more than that. It's other kinds of radiometric dating that they would use, like potassium to argon. But what's fascinating is, first of all, most public school students and teachers don't even know the difference between carbon-14 dating and other forms. And they think carbon-14 dating proves the world is billions of years old. Secondly, because carbon-14 decays, it has a very short half-life of like 4,700 years. That means if you have 1,000 carbon-14 atoms, 4,700 years later, you only have 500. And 47 years after that, 4,700 years, you only have 250. And then 125, then 62, then 31. Pretty soon you have none. So that's why it has such a limited half-life. And guess what? They are finding carbon-14 absolutely everywhere they look for it. In fossils, in coal, in petroleum, in gas, where they're getting gas from 2-3 miles down under the surface of the earth that's supposedly millions of years old. They're even finding it in amber that's tens of millions of years old and diamonds. They're finding it absolutely everywhere they look, which is scientific hard evidence that these things are not millions of years old. They're only thousands of years old. Thank you so much for two great questions. May God bless you. Okay, now, a couple other examples. You know, honeybees, you know how they communicate? They dance. They wave their little abdomens at each other and they dance, and that's how they communicate? Well, supposedly, if evolution were true, European honeybees evolved away from Asiatic honeybees millions of years ago. 7 million years ago. 7 million years, they've been different species living in different parts of the globe. So guess what scientists did? And we cover, by the way, all these stories at Real Science Friday with Fred Williams on our website, kgov.com. Just go to kgov.com, search for Real Science Friday. You'll find all these shows. But the Public Library of Science published an article this past year about researchers who took honeybees from Europe and from Asia, different species. They brought them together, and guess what? They were able to communicate. When they did their little dance, they understood each other. And they thought, how could that be? These bees diverged evolution-wise 7 million years ago. Human beings that don't talk to one another for 7,000 years, they can't communicate. They now speak different languages. Why would these bees not change their dance for 7 million years? It's because their paradigm is wrong. They're not millions of years old. They're thousands of years old. You know, jellyfish hardly ever fossilize because they're so soft. So there's a dig in Milwaukee. It's not a dig, it's a quarry. And in the quarry, they find a school of jellyfish. The whole school fossilized. I mean, it's very unusual. You have to have just the perfect conditions to fossilize jellyfish. And guess what? They said, well, these seven layers here in this quarry, they took like a million years to lay down, million years. And then they find the jellyfish and the school. One school of jellyfish, they're in all seven layers. They're all there, the whole thing. It didn't take a million years. The school didn't come back to that spot every 130,000 years just to sacrifice a few members in slowly depositing sediments. I mean, it's ridiculous. Don't be gullible. Mitochondrial Eve, the mutations in our human DNA, it's showing that the original Eve was not millions of years ago, but thousands of years ago. So back to Sky News, researchers say proof of this transitional species finally confirms, hear this? They told you that evolution was true, right? Yesterday, Darwinism was true. Finally confirms Darwin's theory of evolution. And Sir David Attenborough, one of the leading evolutionists in the world, Sir David Attenborough said Darwin would have been thrilled to have seen the fossil because it tells us who we are. Yes, David, a bunch of monkeys. It tells us that. But here is what he said. He said, people say, okay, if we are primates, show us the link. Show us the link. The link, they would have said up to now, is missing. Sir David Attenborough, evolutionist, well, it's no longer missing. Yesterday, we didn't have a link. Today, we have the link. How's that? Up to yesterday, it was blind faith. Today, we have the proof. We don't have proof. This is a monkey. It says it has opposable big toe. That's normal among monkeys, right? Apes. I think only humans have fully opposable thumbs. Monkeys, that's normal, opposable big toes. But at any rate, when they tell you that something is millions of years old, you should be wise and be asking questions. How do you know it's that old? You know, supernovas in the sky? An explosion appeared in the night sky in 1054 AD as a supernova, and we could see a remnant of it in the Crab Nebula. Well, scientists have measured and calculated the rate at which stars explode, and if the universe is billions of years old, the vast majority of supernova remnants that should exist, they should be there, they're missing. They're missing. You know how many remnants, and they've been looking for decades, because they should find so many. The Milky Way galaxy is billions of years old. They should find so many. Do you know how many supernova remnants they find? They find enough to account for less than 10,000 years of the age of the galaxy. Less than 10,000 years. Missing erosion in the layers of the Grand Canyon. They say the layers take millions of years to lay down. There's over 100 million years of missing strata in the Grand Canyon, where between one perfectly straight layer and the next, they say, well, there were 100 million years between those two layers, but they didn't get recorded here in this part of the world. Well, how's that? Was there no wind? Was there no rain? Was there no erosion? There were no animals. There was no nothing. It was a perfectly zero erosion, 100 million year period just there. I mean, it's make believe. And so they find 600 million year old rock, they say, and guess what they find in it? This is according to Nature magazine. They find bacteria. You know what's funny about the bacteria in 600 million year old rock? It's still alive. Living bacteria in solid rock. Saturn's rings? Saturn's rings. NASA has been stunned to see how Saturn's rings change dramatically in just the few years we've been photographing them. And they don't show the stability predicted by their supposed age of 50 million years or so. And it goes on and on and on. You know where they have polystrate fossils, where one tree, like in Nova Scotia in the fossil cliffs of Joggins, one tree will go through many strata that were supposedly deposited slowly over millions of years, and here's one tree standing up through them all. The spiral galaxies would have lost their spiral arms if they were even millions of years old. And that's known as the winding down problem. So don't be gullible when they tell you that you're an ape. Don't believe them. Maranatha, what a great school, and kgov.com.